Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company, it's Tuesday, big football week. We had Big 12 Media Day over at Allegiant. We'll get into that a little bit later on. We got Mountain West Conference Football Media Day tomorrow and Thursday, so crazy times. Team USA is in town, the Veep. I think Biden's coming too. Sleepy Joe's here as well, but all of that to get into. Greg Salerno is the company today. Griffin is running the show, and so much to get into. I will reference this multiple times throughout the show. Follow Greg on Twitter. The mind of Greg Salerno during the week, and I know you're doing a lot of the press box, but I don't think we've had you on for whatever it's been, 5 days, whatever. Yeah. And I follow your Twitter, and I'm like, what in God's name is going on? And today, it's just like, you just throw out random stuff, and I'm like, okay, like, we can do a whole block on that. Did you have lunch today and miso soup, or was this like a random thing? Did you have some food last night?
No. Friends have been telling me forever, like, oh, you got to try. Because I see all these places that have the funny names, you know, the whatever, you know, that always has like pho in it or miso or something. Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
Funny names. the pho places are actually very funny.
Well, that's what I mean. There's play on words. I don't mean like funny because it's a foreign language.
They're kind of cussy. I mean,
exactly.
They do it on purpose.
I was trying not to do that on purpose. But, you know, so everybody's telling me you got to try one of these soups, and that miso soup is one of the best kinds of soups. So I go try miso soup today at lunch because I was trying to
have you did? He went to lunch and got the miso. Goes right to Twitter like, okay, here's my review.
Because I was told it's low in calories and I'm trying to lose weight or whatever. So I was like, I'll try it. I got a couple sushi rolls and I ordered a miso soup. Man, I had to like push it away from the table. It tasted like, you know when like a dog first gets out of the bath or something and it shakes off and it just smells horrible, like that wet dog smell? That's what it tasted like. Every single taste. And I thought maybe at first it was like something already in my mouth and I had to like, you know, so I drank some water. I tried it again. Then I smelled it in the soup, whatever's in there. Yeah. It was like two guys from prison wrang their socks out into the soup bowl or something. It was horrendous. So whoever told me that, I don't even remember who it was now, the people that told me to go see it, thank you. I guess it was a joke they played on me. I don't know, but it's horrendous. I don't like
it. I'd give it another try. You just got to be around it. You got to sniff it up a little bit. You get used to it.
Man.
That's what they serve if you go get a lot of times they serve it. If you go get a teppanyaki, the hibachi, they serve that. And you probably got really good stuff if it was like super pungent.
What is it? I don't even know what it is.
I'd want to try everything. I went to a Korean joint over the weekend. And by the way, I love Chinatown.
Oh, me too.
I can't go there enough. Unfortunately, and I almost say nothing bad about my lady friend, the SO.
Yeah.
She's a little less adventurous than me. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I went and one of the sides on a giant whole fried chicken, which was unbelievable how good it was. They just dip the whole friggin' thing and then bring it out.
Yeah.
Like fresh.
Yeah.
But they had some pickled daikon.
I don't even know. That sounds bad. I don't know what that is.
And she was like, this smells like garbage.
That's what I'm saying.
And so at the end of the meal, I was like, yeah, I'm taking it home. So I took it home. I was like, I'm going to put this in the fridge in the garage. And it was in there for like 2 days. And I'm like, this is getting pretty pungent. I mean, the fridge is on. It's not like it was
right.
Like, not like it broke down.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I can eat it, but I don't know if I'm going to house this thing much longer.
No.
I have a whole system with leftovers. So I have a whole timing sheet.
Yeah, well, I live in a hotel, so leftovers don't do me any good anyway, really. But
hotel living—it's the best.
But this smelled like a broken refrigerator. Like the refrigerator wasn't working, and it was just horrendous.
Pretty smelly.
Is there
an obvious, we'll say more, like common? I think Asian food is American now, but a more common, like a common food in the American food group, which includes a lot of things that like is smelly. It doesn't. I mean, we accept. Honestly, I love it, but like Parmesan, and then if you start going, like, you know, you get a little hardcore where you're mixing a couple of cheeses.
Yeah, Romano can be
Romano
pretty
and, you know, Parmigiano Reggiano, that can be
pretty bad.
And I'm sure you have that and you can take it.
I don't like Romano as much. I like Parmesan. I can douse anything with it. And it really doesn't do anything to me at all. But I can see how, like, if you just first open a Parmesan container and sniff it or something, it's pretty rank.
I love it. Salerno's lunch check. Had miso, didn't like it. Immediately, I was like, I got to talk about this pickled daikon. It smelled too. So Big 12 Football Media Day is in town. I saw, God, I can't remember his name now. Oh, Mitzula is one of our Twitter followers and is a big UNLV fan, and he sent something out. He's like, why is the Big 12 here? You know, this is so off from a geography standpoint. There's no team in the state of Nevada. Why would you not want the Big 12 to start developing a relationship with Las Vegas?
Yeah, I know.
What is the negative? First of all, it's bringing business to the market. It's another event with Allegiant, and hint, hint, college football is not done reorganizing.
Yeah.
At least in football. Something's going to happen. And honestly, I never really thought from – this is no dig on UNLV and what they do over there. It's a fine school. It's getting better. They graduate their kids. But I never thought UNLV was really a match from an attitude standpoint, an academic standpoint, with the Pac-12. Very snooty league.
Yeah.
And very much broken apart because UCLA – was snooty, and especially Stanford and Cal and Washington could be a little snooty. I mean, the schools in the Big 12 and some of the – you've seen the Pac schools that have gone over. Utah's a pretty good school. The other schools, they're okay. But the Big 12 from a school standpoint is a match. I'm going to say from a renegade standpoint, it's sort of a match. I'm not saying that UNLV needs to be crazy. You know, they are named the Rebels. And that certainly has been our past, right?
Yeah.
Being wild and crazy and walking the edge. So, to me, the Big 12 being here and seeing Allegiant and seeing the city and more expansion reorganization on the way, that's not a bad thing.
Well, when I saw this, I didn't get it anyway because the Super Bowl doesn't always have the same two teams that are from that, you know, city there. You're just going to the Super Bowl. You know
people
what I mean?
People want to be connected to Vegas because it's a cool meet-up town. Lots of hotel rooms, unless you've got all of them. Unlimited meeting spaces. Like, the Mountain West Conference has been tied to Las Vegas, and I get it. They have two schools in the conference with Nevada and UNLV, but the Pac-12 wanted to be here. Now the Pac-12 doesn't really exist.
Sure.
The Big 12 is going to want to be here. They're going to, in the future, want to be part of the Las Vegas Bowl. I think they're going to, they'll probably bounce their conference basketball tournament around, even though they don't have a team or a school in the conference, they're probably going to do it here. Cozying up with the Big 12 is a good thing for this market.
No, it definitely is, but it's also a market that people use for – we were selling dental dams at a convention here last summer. Like, who cares? Does that have anything to do with Vegas? I mean, no, I didn't actually, no.
Is that your job to get those or the opposite sex?
A dental dam is different. I think you're thinking of something else.
Oh, I was thinking the nether region. Are you talking about, like, a dentistry thing?
Yeah. I think you're thinking of AVN.
Oops.
But even that, like, I mean, who cares? I just, you know, it's a destination city.
They
now
shoot all the porn in California.
Yeah, exactly.
The church ward. What do you have to do with Vegas?
Exactly. I don't get it.
We want events here. Right. We want to justify throwing $750 million at Allegiant and having to fix up all the roads. We want more and more and more and more events here. So cozying up to the Big 12 is a good thing. And frankly, I'm not speaking on this particular issue, but we are in the wild, wild west. UNLV does things a little differently now than, say, they did with Tark, where Tark was a second chance guy and a sure. Father Flanagan, as Dickie V would call him. I mean, I think Mike Gundy is a giant horse's ass, you know. I'm 40! now whatever he is, 56. He just had his star running back popped for DUI last week, and he's like, hey, you know what? I am what I am. We're here to win football games. Like, they're not even hiding it. Today at Big 12 Media Day, he said, I'm going to do what I think is best for Ollie Gordon, star running back. He said, I'm going to do what's best for Oklahoma State football. I think it's best that Ollie play. And if there's any punishment, it's making him carry the ball 50 times in the first game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no masking who Mike Gundy is and who a lot of the Big 12 schools are.
First of all, I can't believe that's been 16 years since he said that. That's crazy.
Whatever he is.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying. I feel really old. But, I mean, we were just talking about this the other day on the press box about how it seems like colleges now, you know, the guy in Utah got in trouble now for apparently, we don't know all the details, I don't think, but whatever it was that was happening there, apparently somebody looking the other way, doing something.
Well, they did. I mean, surprise. I'm not going to say that because I can speak a lot on Utah and what those schools present they are and what they are. No, in that case, and that's going to be the weird thing tomorrow. Like, I'm supposed to talk Utah State football with a coach and a couple of players and not ask them about their coach who just got put on leave and is going to get fired?
Right.
No, they did what a lot of schools have done over the years. And, I mean, Baylor was the worst. They had an allegation of an assault. football player on a student, and they did very little to protect her, to move forward with an investigation. And then one of the players called them out, another player called them out, and they freaking blackballed them and kind of tortured them and threatened them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so they did their whole investigation, and, you know, Blake Anderson seemed like a nice guy. I don't know if this means he's a bad guy. I don't think it means he's a great guy. He did what a lot of football programs do, unfortunately. Football shouldn't run the entire school, but, yeah, Utah State, it hit him, and now they got a new coach, like 10 days on the job. He'll be out there tomorrow pitching the Aggies.
Now, do you think this happens more often now, or we just hear about it more often? Because I remember ever since, like, even Penn State, you know, all the way till now, there's been things where people may or may not have looked the other way, people covering things up, stuff like that. It seems like all the time now it's happening, but is it, we're just finding out more now?
I actually think it happens less now.
Yeah, and we just hear about it more now. Yeah.
I think unfortunately, rape and assault and terrorizing women on campus, and if it was tied to the football program, oh well.
Yeah.
And if you're out there and you're like, not my school, your school.
Right.
Probably somewhere along the line.
Well,
I mean, every school has it. Every school, I think, had. I mean, come on, we want to get into the old Southwest Conference.
Right.
No, I think every school did have some sort of fixer at arm's length or actually on the staff who, hey, you know what, kids get in trouble. Could be as, you know, as minor as getting in a freaking brawl at a bar.
Yeah.
You know, as a football player to, unfortunately, horrifically, you know,
going
after women in awful ways. Yeah, I think it happened all the time. And, yeah, anyone who looks at it now and is like, oh, these kids these days, shut up.
Right.
What do you think happened in the 60s, 70s, and 80s?
Yeah.
When all the money was, you know, beneath the table.
Well, that's like
kids were getting in trouble all the time. And they're like, I mean, come on. The Urban Meyer, Florida stay?
Oh, yeah.
It's like 38. He was there for like 4 years. Like 38 that we know of.
Yeah.
Interactions with the local police.
Yeah,
with players.
Yeah.
Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was more players, but he killed a couple of them, I think. Yeah, it's crazy because – and you think you put enough people in a room, unfortunately, percentage-wise, there's going to be a couple horrible people in that room. You know, if you put like 50 people in a room, so obviously all these schools have stuff going on. We just don't hear about it, I guess, a lot or something. I don't know.
I mean, unfortunately, over the years, that's athletics, and I think it's getting cleaner and cleaner, but it's still not – you see it at Utah State, supposedly, maybe not name a faith-based school and – This was going on for 3 years, and then finally they had to pull the freaking plug, say enough's enough, right?
Yeah.
Now, those aren't positives. So going back to my whole thing, you know, the Big 12 being tied to Vegas, you're not aligning yourself with freaking Stanford and Cal.
No.
Let's just say that.
Right.
Whether those schools are, you know, better in terms of the way they – I do think it's a really serious topic.
Sure.
In the real world – parents certainly should be able to send their daughters to schools and not worry about the football program having players who are freaking animals or a coach who was just an ass.
Right. Well, it also breeds.
That's not a pleasant environment to go to.
No.
It's terrible.
No, that's a great word you use, is environment, because it does breed like a culture of that stuff. If you see it going on and nobody's doing anything about it, I mean, that's, you know, that's unfortunately what happens.
And Penn State's one of the worst ever, and all their alums are like, you know.
I know.
Joe Paterno, victim. He wasn't a victim.
No. No. I actually lived out there when it happened, and no. He was not a victim at all.
No. No. All right, let's do a giveaway here. 364-1100, 364-1100. That was supposed to be a big positive for the Big 12. But
that's my fault.
You're right, though, because I'm sitting here talking about the, you know, the Big 12 being kind of a renegade, crazy conference, and it's like, well, Mountain West Conference has Utah State dealing with this stuff right now. We got a lot of good stuff today. Kevin Hart, your favorite. Kevin Hart is playing Resorts World. That's his residency. Tickets for this weekend. Two tickets. Caller 7. 364-1100. Get your tickets at AXS.com. If you don't win these, AXS.com. Griffin's going to hook you up. Caller 7. Kevin Hart. 364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Salerno! He's in studio, Cofield and Company. We got another big week in Vegas. I say that every week because there's never a slow week now. We got college football, really. The chatter begins. Mountain West Conference is down at Circa. I'll be out there all day long on Wednesday and Thursday talking to all the coaches, the players, getting ready for that. We got some Big 12 talk coming up. Here is Deion Sanders on the ground tomorrow. So we'll have more Colorado Buffalo talk. It's one of the big stories in the conference, even though they're probably going to finish 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. But it's crazy. It's a good example of where college football is going, at least for now, where they took over the Pac-12, basically plucked it, and now you got this mega 16-team conference. And I'm sure there's a lot of people at Media Day who are like, Arizona,
Central Florida. Same right. conference.
Right.
It's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy. There's I'm going to try to get out to it tomorrow. There's availability. Think about this one. There's also Washington State and Oregon State are in town doing a small function. Because they're like,
yeah.
Hello? Pac-2? It's crazy right now.
It really is.
It's crazy. All right. So we got a lot of basketball to get to because Team USA is here. And I know you love the NBA. I love the Olympics. I love the makeup of Team USA. Yesterday was pretty crazy as they scrimmaged against the USA Select. So some of the future stars were in that group. But I haven't seen you for a while. There were all these names that the Lakers could supposedly be in on or trade for. And right now, nothing's really happened. LeBron and Bronny signed. So Bronny signed. I don't care what he signed for, but whatever it is. He's guaranteed like $6 million, fourth year is an option. LeBron signed just below the max, so that second apron thing is whatever.
Right.
So he doesn't block him completely. They have Dalton Connect, who's playing in the other summer league. We're going to see him. We're going to see Bronny towards the end of the week, into next week. Can we already call the Lakers offseason a failure?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Are you kidding? The front office, too, is – I don't know how – I mean, I get it because LeBron, you know, takes a lot of the praise and blame no matter what happens, you know, over there. But, man, the way that Jeannie Buss and Pelinka skate by is pretty crazy to me because you got to think about, too, they were talking about the other day, well, at least they got the bubble ring or whatever. And it's like, dude, Magic Johnson's the one that recruited LeBron over there, not Pelinka. It wasn't Kobe's buddy that did it. And then LeBron brought AD with him. So it wasn't like you know, what has Pelinka really accomplished since he's been there? I can't think of anything. And they were terrible before LeBron got there. So, and I think it was like, oh, well, they drafted these guys and got rid of them for LeBron. What are they doing now? Lonzo's not even playing. I mean, I don't know. It's got to be one of the worst front offices in the league. And if you listen to anybody on their, you know, any of the beat writers, it's basically money most of the time, why the assistants don't want to come, why players don't want to come, that they just don't want to pay anybody. So what is Jeannie Buss doing over there? I don't get it. You can't just sit there and rest on the Laker name for the rest of your life.
So let's concentrate on what you said right in the middle there. Coaches and money.
What? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Why does it even matter? I don't get that either. If you want an assistant coach, you're going to have to pay for the assistant coach. Like, why does that matter? Hurley, you could have had a head coach, and you offered him less than what he turned down already. You already knew he turned down a certain amount for Kentucky, and now you're going to sit there and offer him an NBA job with less money?
Well, the assistant coach thing is emblematic of a bigger problem. You're hiring a guy who has not been a coach, certainly not a head coach, in the NBA.
Right.
And then you're not doing your best to spend good salaries to draw good assistants. They were turned down by like five different guys.
I know.
You're going to cheap out on that when you hired a rookie who hasn't coached?
Yeah.
Like, where's that?
I don't get it.
In the end, that's got to fall at the feet of who? Is it Jeannie Buss? Is it the Rambi? Are they worried about her money?
I mean, what
is going on?
If we're talking about money, it's got to be Jeannie Buss, right? I mean, I don't know what else. If somebody's advising her poorly, I don't know what's going on. But it just seems ridiculous for the Lakers franchise, of all franchises, not to be able to get an assistant coach, not to be able to get mid-level, low-level players to come there. I don't get it. It's pretty crazy to me.
Total mess.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When I look at personnel – and I'm looking at guys they missed out on. I'm like, well, like, they didn't miss out on any unbelievable players. But if you're not going to – if the sum at the end of it is no one.
Right. Exactly.
Well, then, you know what? Klay Thompson was probably worth a little more money, although apparently rumors were that he turned down 4 years and $80 million, and he got 3 and 50 from the Mavericks. The DeMar DeRozan thing to me is fascinating because I think they were, oh, he's L.A. There's right. been so many times the Lakers have said, oh, he's L.A. He's going to come back
right.
on a discount. Like, when someone's 20, 29, 30, 31 in the NBA, discount? Like, this ain't Karl Malone at 38.
Yeah,
it's not Gary Payton, old man Gary, or old glove.
Or Alonzo with the Heat the last time around or whatever.
Right?
Yeah,
these are guys who still have, like, 5 years of good earning power.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we'll get them for the, you know. Well, if that's your exemption there.
If that's your attitude anyway, you're going about it wrong to begin with. We'll probably get into the Yankees later, but that's another thing I have a problem with the Yankees, too. It's like, you can't just rest on your name forever. I mean, I know you're the Lakers and all the championships and all that stuff, but that was a long time. The last one you got was with LeBron in 2020. What have you done since then to even improve the team at all? I don't get it.
And I don't want to blame AD or LeBron for taking up too much of the money. You know, you take what you're offered.
Right.
I suppose if it's explained to you like it was to LeBron, like, hey, please don't take the max because we need a little room to make sure we stay away from this apron. To me, it's a management deal. Or if you want to believe, and there is a growing legion of, I thought like 4 or 5 years ago, there was a massive group of LeBron haters, but between the war against the MJers and then Lakers fans getting really frustrated, I thought LeBron got to a point where maybe he was in favor with the general basketball public, maybe 60-40. I mean, at the decision time, he was like 20% for, 80 against. And I thought he kind of turned it around, but man, them not winning, Bronny coming along. I was suggesting yesterday, kind of, he's making Bronny go to the NBA. Maybe the kid doesn't even want to do it, but that's fostering hate. And then as you hate them more than anyone, the MJ Army.
Oh well, it's you know, Kobe stands too. That, you know, there's Lakers fans, and then there's Kobe's fans that are Lakers fans, and all the Kobe's fans don't like LeBron either. So it's like, I don't know what else they want. I mean, they were losing for how many years with Kobe there? He didn't win a playoff series after he turned 32 years old. So all that time they were losing. This guy comes in, at least he brings you a chip, and then they don't even do anything to try to help him. And now he takes – I mean, I've never seen a guy hated more in my life, honestly. And that's one of the reasons why I stand for LeBron so much, is that I just see he gets so much hate, I guess. I don't know. It just – it's almost like a contrarian thing at this point to actually like LeBron.
Listen to on DeRozan, because we want to get into DeRozan and also what's going to happen with the Kings. So DeMar DeRozan, L.A. guy, listen to Shams talk about – you know, the finalists here, the Kings get them, and then where the Lakers were in the pecking order.
It was really down to the Kings and the Miami Heat, from what I'm told, as far as DeMar DeRozan's next home. He really wanted to land in a competitive environment, and also, I'm told, wanted to go back west at the end of the day. The Lakers were bandied about. They have been over the last couple free agencies for DeMar DeRozan, but I'm told the Lakers never went beyond expressing just simple interest in DeRozan. There were no offers or tangible conversations with the Bulls on a sign-and-trade deal.
That doesn't shock me.
It kind of shocks me.
But here, where they sent the message early on, it's not realistic. He's not taking some massive discount. Is that what it was? Or do they not even...
Well,
I guess we're going to find out eventually, because I thought what Paul George talked about the other day, we'll hit that in the middle of the show, about the Clippers offers just going down and down. Like, they didn't want them. Clippers didn't want PG-13. So were the Lakers dealing in reality that they weren't getting DeMar DeRozan for some extreme discount? Or did the Lakers wimp out and DeRozan's like, I would have taken a discount.
Right. Well, the thing, too, is that, I mean, I don't know if you believe all this stuff, but LeBron supposedly was going to take a $20 million pay cut, up to a $20 million pay cut, if they were able to get another guy. So the only reason he signed the max at all was because if he's just sitting there like, well, you didn't do anything, I'm going to take a pay cut for no reason. I mean, he still took a little pay cut, but why is a guy going to sacrifice, you know, 20, 30% of his salary if you're not going to do anything? I don't know what they're doing. Like, what was their plan to go into? And the thing is, too,
that's the problem.
They said they were saving those two first round picks for the offseason because they were being able to use that as ammunition. Well, guess what? They still have them and they don't have anybody. So
we'll get into DeRozan more, because that's a pretty big deal, I think. I think the Kings are actually going to be pretty good, but I know Greg thinks they have some other warts on the roster that are more than a big problem. Summer of Fun is back. ESPN Las Vegas with Planet Nissan has given away 8 trips in 8 weeks. And this week's trip is actually really, really cool, very unique, a cowboy adventure in Alpine, Wyoming. These prizes are worth upwards of $3,000, so you can also take the cash offer. But all you got to do is text in the code word of the day. 702-364-1100 is the code word, 702-364-1100. Code word today is music. So text it in, music, and you're in the running for the Summer of Fun trip. It's all brought to you by Planet Nissan.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Steve Cofield, Salerno's here, Griffin. It's a Tuesday. More NBA on the way. Team USA, because we got Team USA over at Mendenhall. We'll get into that. 4 o'clock hour. Sammy P is in. He wants to play the imaginary game of setting a line, this 2024 Team USA team against the Dream Team.
Oh.
Hold it. Hold it, because I know evolution is going to be a big part of Greg Salerno's take. You should have been in yesterday. We were talking about the evolution deniers, who are the MJ backers.
Yeah.
And we talked about the latest football recruit for commit for Georgia is an offensive tackle who is 6'11 and 330. Their five-man class, the average, because he pushed it up a little bit, the average of the commits is 6'7 and 340 on the offensive line. 6'7, 340. I did more research yesterday on the 7'3 Chinese lady who's 17 years old.
Yeah.
That's fascinating if she can actually play down the road.
Oh, you mean the one they made in the lab?
We talked about that?
Yeah.
And the 7'9 kid, 7'9, 290, Olivier Rieu.
Nice.
Who, and while we're at it, I guess we'll get to this in the 4 o'clock hour, but the Cooper Flagg kid who shows up yesterday at Mendenhall Center, little scrimmage, and he's like, "Oh, NBA players, the best in the world, best team in the world. Yeah, okay, let's go. Come on." And he held his own. He more than held his own. So today at Mendenhall was pretty interesting. Vegas rules, man. Everyone wants to be here.
I know.
Now, part of this is in this case, we are a swing state. Right. So it's going to be very big in the presidential election.
Sure.
Kamala Harris was on the ground, and you got all this media watching practice, and then all of a sudden there's this throng of camera people and security people, and the vice president walks in, kind of plants in the corner, starts talking to some of the players, and it's kind of interesting.
How does that work? Because, I mean, she has to have Secret Service and all that stuff going on. I mean, how do they – she just walks up to any player? And
I don't know. I guess Steve Kerr texted her and was like, come on down.
But I'm saying, like, they didn't like frisk the guys before the game. I mean, whatever, before that you met them, or
they probably did. It was probably like it couldn't planned. Have been a complete surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I have to go to Mendenhall all the time. I don't remember I shouldn't give away secrets, but
right.
The doors are locked. It's not like you can just walk in. But yeah, they must have had a little extra security today.
I mean, you
every
think?
Door manned.
Yeah.
Now, this is something I find fascinating. I don't know if we're ever going to have this in the United States. But it is massive internationally, betting on our elections.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's actually not bigger than the United States.
Well, it's not. I don't think there's a state that has allowed it yet.
Yeah.
I think they worry about undue influence. Either inside information, which can you really have inside information? Because the betting market for president last time around was an information S show.
Yeah.
Because there were all these states where it was basically like, because people could bet in game election, like in action.
Right.
So you'd have like 2 hours before a poll was closing in a particular state. And then, you know, you're watching people declare Biden or Trump for the victory or bad info get out there. And then all of a sudden, you know, Trump in a swing state is like pushing to minus 700 half an hour before the polls close. And it was bad information.
Yeah.
So this market's been going on for a while. And I watch it, but we're not allowed to bet it here. But now, sort of close to us, and I assume the Mexico sportsbooks, like if you're in San Diego, you're on the border in Texas, you can probably go across and bet it. I don't know what their limits are. But now in Ontario, Canada, BetMGM has a book on the ground there, and they're booking it.
Yeah, well, I know in Europe, a bunch of people lost their ass because there was like a party they thought was going to win, and they were favored by a whole bunch, and all the polls were saying they were going to win at the last minute. And I guess the way they do theirs is like they just announce it all at once or something, so they're standing there watching
was
to see who
the,
won. There was in France was France, one.
Right,
yeah. And there was another one, another place too. I can't remember, but both of them, I think it was in England too, they had one where it was like a surprise in both of them. And I can imagine whoever those people were setting those lines lost a lot of money because they were way going the other direction.
I mean, it's sort of like sports betting.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching the action unfold. That's where it's kind of not like sports betting because it's in front of you. You don't know
right.
what's going on in every state, what's happening, you know, with the polling, the ballots, the exit polls.
Well, the difference is, though, like they ask actual voters because you can't really ask a guy
right.
in, like, you know, the Jets or something if you're going to win because you'd be like, yeah, of course. But they're asking actual voters, and I guess either people are lying or they're polling the wrong people because they had the wrong information.
Would you answer if someone asked you walking away?
No.
Be like, bust off. I'm telling you.
No. And business. I don't answer calls. I don't know the number either.
Oh,
so,
no. Yeah. Everything's blocked. Everything's a freaking spam call now.
Yeah.
So, right now, I just mentioned Kamala Harris. She's actually the third choice in the presidential odds. Like, a tick behind Joe Biden.
Right. Which is crazy, because you got to think of what it would take to get her even to run.
What a monumental event would have to happen.
Right.
You know, the prez saying, I just can't do it, or it's people saying, you can't do it. Right now, Trump is a pretty good favorite at minus 165. Biden is second choice. Now he's down to 5-1.
Yeah.
And then the vice president is right behind him at 6-1.
I wonder how it would switch if she became the nominee and what the number would be. Like, just her versus Trump, period.
Yeah, the gap certainly wouldn't. I mean, the prices on these are ridiculous.
Well, because you got to think.
I think Trump would still be a favorite by the betting numbers. Like you were saying earlier, like, I don't think this is right. They're basing it on the betting public.
So no, I get it.
You know how the books work. They're not sure. Going to get lopsided
no.
on any of this, so they get destroyed. They want to curry as much two-way action or three-way action as possible.
Right. I get it. What I'm saying is, though, like, for her to be that high, even not even running right now, to think that how far she would jump if she was the actual nominee, you would think it would kind of skyrocket a little.
It's hard to say because I think this book probably has her a little, we'll say, inflated.
Yeah.
Because they want money on her.
Okay, yeah.
To try to balance things out. So.
Sure.
But it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it really is.
Right? The election.
I wish you could just bet it on our phone, like, you know.
I think the other thing they'd worry about is too many people being in the loop. And then legit news sites. Yeah. A TV station saying, hey, the betting. Imagine if they were reporting on the betting and then there's 3 hours left before the polls close and you're like, eh, look at the odds.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to vote.
Yeah.
And then you just, we don't have enough people voting now.
That's true.
And you're going to dissuade them from going out. So interesting follow. That's at BetMGM in Ontario, Canada. All right. On the way back, we were just talking about the Lakers. This is one of my favorite themes about kids taking over an organization and you don't know what they're going to do compared to dad. Like, I have no idea what Stevie Jones is going to do when Jerry's gone, right? That's going to be a fascinating follow. Just because a kid takes over and he's been, you know, here's the silver spoon, here's a team, maybe they're going to be super competitive. Like, I think the Twins, Carl Pohlad's kids, have actually been a lot better than Carl Pohlad. He was a cheap ass. And the Twins, like, they're not great, but they're good every year.
Sure.
Right? Because his kids are like, oh, like, we got this for nothing? It's kind of fun.
Right.
We make money elsewhere? Yeah. Let's go get some players. Now Jeannie Buss is being, I don't know what the hell's going on here with not wanting to pay coaches. To me, that's very weird. And you and I share our feelings on the Yankees, so we'll get you an update on the Yankees and what's happening here. Trade deadline's coming up, Major League Baseball, on July 30th. You would think they'll be involved, but there's a lot of teams right now on the dance floor, and there's a lot of, you know, supposed mid-level teams out there that have aggressive owners. They have money. They're getting rev sharing. They get the TV deal. They could jump ahead of some of the supposed big boys and make big deals. Giveaway right now, though. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7, 2 tickets to the Front Row Card Show, July 13th and 14th at the Rio. 450 tables of cards, comics, and collectibles. You can get your tickets at frontrowcardshow.com. You also, with a victory here for the 2 tickets, you qualify to win $200 in card show credit. I keep saying bucks. $200 in card show bucks. Caller 7, 364-1100.
How many players on Team USA are better than Anthony Edwards definitively? I don't know. I don't know that there is one.
You want to go through it real quick?
Yeah. I mean, let's
go through
it.
You want to go through the exercise?
No. We'll get to that in a little bit. We're not going through the whole roster. But I do want to talk about Anthony Edwards. I know you do as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not wasting time going through the whole freaking roster. But he's talking a big game. Salerno's here. Team USA stuff coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. A little more on the Lakers missing out on DeMar DeRozan. Did they even try? Did they have a chance to get him? And what are the Sacramento Kings? So a lot of NBA today. Salerno loves the NBA. And the Summer League's here on the 12th, all the way through the 22nd. So good stuff on the way. And we got Team USA playing Canada. We'll go through the Canadian roster a little later on the show. That is coming up at T-Mobile tomorrow. I feel like something else just hit the schedule for tomorrow. It's crazy right now. It's crazy. You look miserable. One, you're getting up all the time now to do the press box, and I don't think you're a morning person. Two, you had a meltdown, and like everyone on the show has some level of instability. You really don't need the flailing Yankees in your life right now.
Oh, man. It's just.
They get us every year!
I mean, they really do. It's just so annoying. And it wouldn't. If they were a small market team, like if I was an OKC fan, okay, I wouldn't be crying every year or whatever. But you're the New York effing Yankees, and you can't even. It's so annoying. They go into the season every year. Everybody knows what the holes are. Then they surprise everybody the first half of the season with the pitching, right? Everybody knew it was going to be pitching. But now they're like, oh, yeah, we'll see. We told you so. And now they suck. And their GM sucks, and he sucked for a really long time. And I don't. Dude, you know those things where, like, they have a draft thing, and you can go on your phone and just pick a team out with a certain amount of money and just make a good team? I literally think just any casual person could just randomly pick players that cost a lot of money and make a better roster than what Cashman does with the Yankees. How do you have that much money every year and you can't win one World Series? Not one since 2009? It's just, it's a joke. I don't understand how he has a job. I mean, I guess I do, because he's been there forever, and just the owner's son, well, he's the owner now, does not care. But I care, and I want him to do better. And this guy sucks. The team sucks. Everyone sucks, and I hate it very much.
I'm going to cut something off of the patch right now, because I know when Yankee fans do this and complain, we're going to have listeners who are like, ah, shut up. Okay. Lakers fans are irrational right now.
Yes.
Because they always win, and they're not winning right now at the level they're expected. Oh, New York and L.A., typical. Up yours, Green Bay fans.
Yeah.
All you did during Rodgers and Favre is piss and moan that you didn't have enough Super Bowls. So you're
right.
In the NFL, when you have a great quarterback, you're in the same position as the Yankees and Dodgers in baseball.
Of course.
Because money isn't everything. Quarterback is everything. And once you nail one, and like the Packers, when you nail them basically back to back and right. you have them for 30 years,
right.
then you understand there's a level you expect to be at. And when you don't win, you piss and moan, right? Because I can tell you, as a fan of a crappy team in the NFL, I hate you people. Because at least you're in it, right? But I understand every level you're at, you have higher expectations than what's going on. So, yeah, are Yankees fans unrealistic? Yes. But they're spending $250 million plus. The Dodgers are spending $300 million plus. Red Sox don't try anymore. But, you know, there are teams in every sport where the fans are a little bit irrational. And now it comes down to, at the top and middle of baseball, which owners care and which owners don't. Because they all have money. I'll actually argue down to, like, three owners in baseball. Maybe they can't spend $180 million on a payroll. Everyone else can. And actually, rev sharing has worked really well in Major League Baseball because it's harder now to win a championship. Right? There's a lot of balance.
Yeah, of course. Well, especially in baseball.
And that's a bad thing for the Yankees and a less a competitive Steinbrenner versus his dad.
Right? Yeah, but
I, so they won't do – I mean, think back. I know this is your rant, but I'm stealing a little
no,
bit.
No, it's fine.
Because I have friends who were like you. I'm a Yankee fan, but I have friends like you who are really hardcore. And my one friend always talks about it. He's like, how the F did the Yankees ever let Bryce Harper go on a discount deal? What was that deal in the end? It was like a 12 for $321
yeah.
million dollars
yeah.
to which, the Phillies?
Which looks ridiculous
now. What do you
now.
Do? Like, what were you doing?
It's like reliever money now.
Oh, I don't think we had room for him. And play him at DH.
Yeah.
Move him back to catcher. I'm kidding. But, like,
right.
you could find somewhere for him. That's a prime example of – I mean, the other one is Justin Verlander was available to everyone. He completely pushed the Astros over the top. And now the Astros, of course, they're back in it, right?
Sure.
They're like – fifth choice for the American League at 500. They're plus 750 to win the American League. You know why? Because the Astros were going for it. Jim Crane is a puke, but he was spending money. It's I get your frustration, dude.
Well, two things. One, I don't believe in the past success stuff anyway. I mean, there's kids that can drink now that were seven the last time the Yankees won a World Series, so who cares? Two, you know, like Cowboys fans are always like, oh, yeah, Super Bowls. Like, you were on Betamax last time you won a Super Bowl, dude. So how does that even matter? You
and
weren't
by,
there.
By the way, that's another great example. Like, for as many Super Bowls as Cowboys have won, their fans do have a right to complain now.
Yeah.
Because they're in an upper strata of, like, the top eight organizations, but they're right now they're never going to win. I mean, this offseason is a prime example.
Yes.
Jerry Jones, I don't know what he's trying to prove.
They haven't been in a NFC Championship game since the first Bush administration. So, yeah, I'd be mad, too, if I'm a Cowboys fan. So, yeah, I mean, you know, past success to me means nothing unless it's, like, a couple years ago. I'll give you, like, a five-year window, okay? Like, if they just – like, the Eagles right now, I'm not really upset because in 2017 they won their first Super Bowl. I was super excited. And when they lost the second time, I was mad, but I wasn't nearly as mad as I would have been if they didn't have that first one. But 20, 30 years ago, I mean, who cares? That doesn't do anything for me. I want to see them win. Plus, you have the resources. So – why not try a different guy out, see if he could do better with this resources? You have the same guy since the 90s now, Brian Cashman. Mm-hmm. Why not try somebody else out? You have there's not one guy that you could have hired in this whole time that would have done any better?
Did you ever watch the documentary I told you?
I haven't got a chance yet.
Dude, you got to watch it. Something struck me because Cashman was in it a bunch.
Yeah.
He was sort of rude and kind of a jerk about George.
Yeah.
And, like, listen, the story is about George being a lunatic, but, like,
right.
bruh, he started you.
Yeah.
Like, now you're like, your kid or his kid runs the organization. Like, you got some,
well,
you know what's on you.
I know,
American League odds, real quick.
Sorry.
Yankees plus 250, Orioles 300, Guardians 6-1, Astros 750, Twins 8-1, Mariners 8-1, Royals 20-1. I think a lot of this does come down to filling your holes, right?
Yeah.
Fixing your problems. Those teams I just named, who do you trust to go out and add? Yankees, Orioles, Guardians, Astros, Twins, Mariners, Royals. Who's going to add? And then your Yankees will be looking up.
Yeah.
Yankee fans will be like, wait, how did?
Probably the cheaters. Probably the Astros. I mean, of course, because I hate them. They'll be, that, you know, the universe hates me. So, of course, they're going to be awesome. And they'll figure something out. They'll probably, you know, take somebody. They'll probably get Cole, Garrett Cole back or something before the end of the year. I don't know.
I think the super dangerous one are the Orioles. Orioles have so many good prospects. They're so, like, jam-packed with infield prospects. They could, you know, toss a top 50 prospect at someone or less and beat out the Yankees for players. I don't know if the Guardians will do it. I don't think the Royals will do it. Mariners could.
Yeah,
you're right. The Astros are very dangerous right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to make me so mad, dude.
Oh, you're going to be livid. And by the way, the competition for those players is not just from the American League.
Right.
Because the National League has – I mean, the Philadelphia right now is on fire as a sports town.
Yeah.
Because you're fort – I mean, New York and Boston are kind of forced to try, but doesn't mean those owners are going to try. I feel like all – put aside the Flyers, but the other owners are all like, yeah, wait, like – fans are yelling at us. Media is yelling. Oh, yeah, we got to get guys.
Yeah.
They're all hyper-aggressive and adding. All right, 4 o'clock hours on the way. We'll bring in Reno. We'll get back to all the goings-on over at Mendenhall around Team USA.